Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Welcome back, guys. We're up to episode 88 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell, and Johnny Stofko joins me.
What's up, everybody? Hope everyone had an excellent holiday.
Merry Christmas to you, brother.
You too, Tristan. Nice Santa hat that you're not wearing. I feel like if we were in video, we would be wearing Santa hats.
They say elf for me, but Santa sacked me.
Yeah, elves could maybe fight. Actually, I watched the movie Elf last night. It's one of my go-to holiday classics.
It's made some great movies. I watched Home Alone 2 the other day. It was awesome.
Have you seen The Night Before?
Which one's
with
that one?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen?
Yeah, I watched half of it.
Oh, my God. Anyway, Chrissy Blair today.
Yeah, Chrissy.
You are excited. I'm excited. We have spoken to fighters, the announcers, the analysts, and now we get to speak to one of the original OG Octagon ring girls for the UFC.
Yeah, it'll be cool. She's in great shape. It'll be great just to get insights into kind of, I guess they travel a lot. So it'll be interesting just to see how they look after themselves and just their own visions and how they got into the company. It'll just be a little good conversation that we don't regularly get to have. So
yeah, Chrissy is an internationally published model. She is signed with a few different really high-end fashion labels. She's an entrepreneur.
Yeah. She's got Gloomy Health happening, so
yep.
Be interesting to get a bit of insight into where she sees that going on. And I know she's got an Australian partner, so it's a bit like us. American,
business partner?
American-Australian.
There you go,
that
man.
Mix.
It's a good mix, too, especially if the American is loud and the Australian is a little bit more refined. I'm trying to give you a compliment here, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a compliment. Thanks, man. Yeah, you're allegedly more refined.
Oh, really?
Yeah, allegedly.
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
that's a big
buddy. Legend.
All right, guys, big thank you before we get into the show. We're nearly at the end of the year, but, you know, you guys have supported us all the way, so thank you. And also, please subscribe via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.
Definitely follow our journeys as well. Follow me, Johnny Stofko, on Instagram, all the social platforms, Twitter, Facebook business page as well. You can find Tristan Cannell Fitness, Instagram, Twitter. Support our cause. Like our Vision Board podcast page as well on Facey.
Definitely. Guys, we've got a new ebook we're just releasing. It's Conversation Champions. What we've done, we've pulled out the best quotes from this year on the Vision Board podcast. So if you're looking for a bit of inspiration, you can either – it's going to be a PDF. So same as we've done, we're going to replace it with the abs ebook. We're going to put that on the sideline for the time being. But if you ever want that, you can always email us. But for the time being, I think we're going to get a little bit more value and you're going to get a little bit more inspiration around this time of year, especially when you're trying to set your goals for 2017 around seeing, some of the best quotes from this year.
Yes, that is Conversations with Champions. We'll put it together in a PDF format. You can find that on our website. Basically, Tris and I have taken together a lot of our interviews, breaking it down in different type of chapters, such as the entrepreneurial mindset, champion mindset, that sort of thing. And we find value because, for one, if you say you listen to one of our episodes, say you listen to the All Just UFC Fighters, and you'll love this Chrissy Blair episode, she represents the UFC, but you kind of bypass an episode such as Tom Bilyeu, CEO, president, founder of Quest Nutrition. That's where we feel Conversations with Champions will provide its most value for that person who knows maybe one or two of the people, but can also open the eyes to other people, and that could take you down the road of a different way of thinking.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. I think it's a great way. Yeah, if you haven't listened to all the podcasts, just to see who they are and what they're about. And like I said, it's a free download, so it'll be on the homepage at www.thevisionboardpodcast.com, or you can also find it on /ebook. So it's nice and simple, like I said, www.thevisionboardpodcast.com, and yeah, find your ebook there and enjoy and let us know what you think.
And like always, this episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, Onnit. You can check Onnit out at www.onnit.com to check. This is a human optimization company. They bring together awesome supplements, training gear, stories about the training, stories about the subs. Their whole goal is to allow you to be at your most potential. When you're proceeding to their checkout, use keyword Vision Board to receive 10% off of all your purchases.
Yeah, definitely. Get it in there, guys. Get your Dolce Whey. I love the Shroom Tech. And
I
love the Warrior Bar. Saves me a lot of time between my sessions here at the gym. And they're tasty. They're nutritious. They got about 15 grams of protein, I think they have. And they're some really good carbs. It's just nice taste. I love the jalapeno ones. So get it in you.
Yeah, definitely. If you've never tried the Shroom Tech, the Alpha Brain, it give you definitely a different level of clarity and focus. If you have any questions about these products before you buy them, send Tristan and I a message at info@thevisionboardpodcast.com, and we'll be glad to help you out.
Definitely. And what's that coupon code again, Johnny?
10% off. Use code word Vision Board.
There you go. So you got to get in there.
Get involved.
Try it. All right, guys. We've got Chrissy Blair, so we won't keep her much longer. So here she is. Our special guest today is Chrissy Blair. Chrissy is a model, UFC Octagon girl, and entrepreneur. She's doing great things in the health and fitness world, and she's the co-founder of Columbia Health, while she's also holds degrees in graphic design and fine art. We welcome Chrissy Blair. Chrissy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Chrissy, time is super valuable. We appreciate you sharing the space with us, our fans, the Vision Board Podcast. So on paper, like Tristan mentioned, you're always on the run. The world knows you as one of the main Octagon girls in the UFC. Could you share a little insight with your fans and ours, what you're currently doing now in terms of maybe what you're getting prepared for, some business, anything going on in the world of Chrissy Blair?
Totally. So this week, I have about a week and a half off break from the UFC. So I'm really enjoying my time kind of with family and just having some downtime. Been working out more lately now since I have some more downtime. And really just, hanging out for the holidays, doing some cooking. Get to do some grocery shopping and cook at home this week, which is awesome. I'm always on the road. I've been traveling. I think we have a total of 5 fights for the month of December. So I have 1 more for December, and I've already done 4 this month. So it's been a whirlwind. So now I'm finally focusing on health and fitness and getting some stuff done around the house.
Yeah. Where's the fight next week? Is that in Vegas?
Yeah, Vegas. It's going to be UFC 207.
Yeah, seems like a huge card. What are you thinking?
Oh, it's going to be massive. I'm super excited. I'm really excited to see Ronda Rousey get back in the octagon, and I've been thinking a lot of positive thoughts for her. So
that's awesome. Like, I didn't really I've been a fan of the UFC mixed martial arts since, man, early days. I'm talking like 96, 97 when Hoist was fighting in a gi. But you don't really understand unless you're at one of these events, the electricity. I was in Melbourne for when Ronda fought Holly. And that place was absolutely, like, every time a fight would be, you know, a fight would end, the energy would just dissipate, and then a fight would start, and the UFC has this amazing way of production. For when you got the offer, when you got started in the UFC and started working for them, did you ever imagine, now if your gauge would be the most amazing card you'd ever seen to when you first started, did you ever visualize it would get to that point?
No, I mean, when I was there the very first time, it was a guest Octagon girl appearance. So for me, I thought that was like a one-time thing. It was Tito versus Evans. It was super exciting. And that was in 2011. So that was quite a ways away, but it was already starting to get pretty big at that time. You know, it's not like Ariane and Brittany have really seen this sport go from super small to super huge, you know, whereas I kind of came in when it really just first started getting really big. But I have seen a big difference. And when I was first there, you know, I thought that was huge. So I couldn't imagine it being any bigger. Mm-hmm. And then now just, you know, Madison Square Garden and the amount of people that were watching. And then I read that even the Sacramento fight that we just had, Paige VanZant versus Michelle Waterson, was in 3 years the largest television audience the UFC has had in a while. So it's gotten so big, and I couldn't have imagined it getting bigger, but it's now I can really see it's kind of limitless. It's going to be huge, even bigger than it is now, which is crazy.
Yeah. Well, what's the actual process for being selected by the UFC?
What's the what?
What's the actual selection process for you becoming an Octagon girl?
Oh, for the Octagon girls? You know, I don't know if there really is one set in stone that they really follow. I think it's kind of just luck, you know. They need someone, and then if they find the right girl, they're pretty loyal, really. I mean, if you, like I was saying with Ariane and Brittany, they've been around for so long. They're obviously really loyal, the UFC is, Dana White, when they choose someone to represent. the OC. So the process for me and Vanessa, who's also newer, was somewhat similar. We were doing a modeling contest through a magazine that features models every month. And they ran a little thing that was like, oh, if you win, you get to be a guest Octagon girl. So we both were guests. And then I think there was a number of other guests as well. And then Strikeforce, you know, merged with the UFC. And I think when they first got acquired by them, they just had new Octagon girls. So they brought me and Vanessa in to be the main girls. And then once they merged as one, they just kind of brought us over to the UFC. So our way of getting in was very different. I know the other girls, Brittany was at WEC, so that was kind of a similar situation. And then I think Ariane went to an actual casting. But that was like 8 years ago or something, so they're obviously not doing these castings all the time.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier you're, you know, having a week and a half off to get help, you know, focus on your health, fitness, and training. A week and a half off is, you're always moving. So my question is, do they set you up, do they set you ladies up with a program in terms of training or coaches or personal trainers or anything like that? Or is that up to you to have to organize it?
Yeah, that's part of our job as models and Octagon girls. You know, we have to keep it in shape on our own. So, I mean, through my modeling career and just from being so, so interested in health, I've come up with my own regimen of, you know, an eating plan, a diet plan that works pretty well for me. And honestly, I think it's really important to eat. Like, you have to eat. Like, the girls that don't eat, I don't get it. I'm like, that's never going to work in the long run. So that's all stuff we have to figure out on our own. And I do a number of different workouts. I switch it up from Pilates, reformer classes, to circuit training, and then just lots of try to walk a lot even, which sounds stupid, but for me it works really well because I get really hungry.
Yeah.
And I want to eat like bad food.
For sure. It's very normal. It's so being around, they always talk about, you know, the people that Tris and I interview always bring up, you know, creating our reality or the law of attraction. The some of the people we hang around with the most have a reflection on us. You being in, you know, around MMA for the last 5 years, have you ever got into that type of training? Did you ever have the thought process like, oh, I want to learn how to strike or I want to do jiu-jitsu?
Yeah.
Has this happened?
Yeah, well, not only was I interested in it from the UFC, but my grandfather was a professional boxer. He's a welterweight boxer. So when I started with the UFC, I thought it was kind of cool. If my grandfather was alive, he would have thought it was super awesome. And then I kind of felt like maybe it's in my blood, like, you know, maybe I'm a natural or something. So I started trying boxing, and I loved boxing. Super cool. Because I never get angry at all. Like, I have a hard time showing anger or, like, frustration, really. So when I do boxing, it's awesome because I'm able to, like, get all that out.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a great workout, too. And then me and Vanessa, actually, Herb Dean is kind of a friend of ours just because we see him all the time, and he's a nice guy. And he invited us to his gym, and we did a jiu-jitsu class, and we had no idea what we were signing up for. Like, I didn't realize how much groundwork they were going to have us do, and, like, right on top of people we've never met.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
That sounds like a show. That should be – could you imagine? That should be, like, a reality show, like, to document that process of you girls go. So you bring up Vanessa. Is that your roommate? Is that your close friend, your partner in crime?
She's an Octagon girl with me as well. So there's four of us in America. Brittany, Ariane, me, and Vanessa.
Yeah, you guys must form. You guys must form like a really strong bond being on the road together a lot, right?
Yeah, when we first started in Strikeforce was when I first met her, and we became friends instantly. Like, I think she was asking if she could borrow lotion or something, and I was like, "Oh, you have this?" Like, yeah, right away. We were just like, "Yeah, let's help each other out. Like, we're friends," and now we work together all the time. So. Perfect.
Yeah, well, can you give us a little bit of advice about kind of like staying nice and healthy on the road? Because you must be on the road of a hell of a lot. Like you said before, you did five shows in December. Like just being up in the air, then coming down, trying to organize all your nutrition and things like that. Just give us a bit of insights into that, Chrissy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like a psycho health freak, but that's why I made this company of mine with the protein bars because not only with modeling, and when you have modeling and the UFC, it's literally nonstop. Like, you're running to castings every day when you're home, which, like, auditions and things for modeling jobs and meeting clients, and then you know, the weekends we travel with the UFC, and then we have to be working out constantly, and then I go on now business meetings for my company, so it's nonstop for me, and I'm always on the run. So I needed something like a protein bar that was actually healthy, because I'm, like I said, I'm super picky, and when I go to Whole Foods, even most of the bars there are snacks to go. I don't, there's something about them. They're loaded with sugar, or they don't have enough protein, or too much protein, and it's fake from like soy or something that's bad for you. So that's why I've designed my own protein bar, which consists of hydrolyzed marine collagen. And before, I was traveling with it in a plastic bag, and it looked like I was traveling with some weird drugs or something, you know? So it was embarrassing. But I think for sure sleep and lots of water are the two things, you know, at least if you're on the run a lot, like get a good pillow for the airplane so you can sleep. Drink lots and lots and lots of water. If you can get lemon, lemon and water is amazing. It's good for your metabolism, and it has a lot of vitamin C.
Yeah.
I do weird things, like whenever I fly, I spray this like grapefruit seed oil in my nose because it like helps. It helps like moisturize your nasal passage and stuff, and helps like stops the germs from getting inside because there's so many floating around in the plane. So I have all these little like health things I do, and then trying to eat just as much real food as possible. So, and you know, like nowadays eggs and meats are always kind of questionable. So I don't really eat meat when I'm traveling, unless I'm at a really nice restaurant where I know I can trust the meat. I don't really eat much meat in general, but like chicken or something I would never get if I'm not getting it at the store where I know it's organic, free-range chicken, just because there's so many hormones and things nowadays. But I'll usually try to do like eggs wherever I'm traveling. I'll do eggs and spinach or something like that in the morning, and then I'll bring my protein bars or my own protein powder that I like. And then in the hotel room, you know, just have to get a towel and put it down and do some crunches or things like that. Me and Vanessa are always doing those things in our room. That fruit's like avocados, you can never go wrong with. I try to eat as many avocados when I'm traveling as I can. Bananas are usually good because you don't have to worry about them being organic. You can just, you know, that's one of the ones that's safe. And grapefruit, things like that. So, yeah, that's how I stay healthy when I travel.
thanks for sharing. Yeah, cool. Yeah, thanks for sharing that with us. We spent like 3 weeks traveling from LA to New York to Cleveland to Miami to Austin. And it wrecked us. Like, we're all, you know,
we stuck up some bananas and avocado because we were terrible.
We just cowboyed it and just, like, we prepped the trip because it was a tour, but we didn't really think about, you know, ourselves. And, man, it was brutal. To switch gears a little bit, I'm really into nonverbal communication, psychology. Robert Greene has a book, 48 Laws of Power, Art of Seduction. He talks about the power in being able to read a room. Whether you're going on a job interview or maybe you're on a first date, that sort of thing. But in relation to you, one of my favorite things is to watch the weigh-ins before the fights. And I like trying to guess who wins just by their body language. It's one of those things, I'm pretty good at it. Just watching, there's certain mannerisms you can watch, eye contact, if somebody is super over-aggressive, that sort of thing. You've seen so many of these in person. Is that something you pay attention to when you're seeing guys or girls weigh in and you think to yourself, oh, this guy's going down or this girl's in for it? Is that something that you look at or no?
A little bit. There's one thing a lot of people do, especially in the fight, where I'm like, oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that yet. Like, so many people I've seen lose after they do this thing. Like, come get me. Like, what you got? And then I see him go down. I'm like, oh, wait, like Anderson Silva, I think that happened to him. Yep. And I've seen Nate's it a few done times it. Now. So whenever that comes out, I'm like, uh-oh, don't get too confident. Oh, no. But in the weigh-ins, I'm not really trying. I've never thought of it that way. Like, oh, I wonder who's going to win this one based off of, like, who looks more prepared. Because you can never tell. Like, I'll think, oh, wow, they look, you know, their body looks amazing. They look so prepared. And then sometimes it's unexpected, you know. It's not by size or, like, attitude. You never really know. And some of the little guys too are so explosive, and it just comes out of nowhere. Like John Dobson is the nicest guy in the world, and he comes out smiling and all happy, and like then when you see him fight, he's so explosive and he's awesome. So you never really know.
Yeah, do you guys,
for me, I can't tell.
Do you also get, are there maybe you could share with us, because there's one of my favorite fighters right now. He's a young Japanese kid, Ishihara. Every time during the weigh-ins, he comes up to you girls and he tries to flirt. So my question is, do you have rules or do you have kind of guidelines from Dana or the powers that be that do this, don't do that, that sort of thing? Or like brand representation sort of thing?
Yeah, just be professional, you know. We don't really have any strict guidelines. I think everyone's been pretty professional and knows how to handle that kind of stuff pretty well, so we've never really had to have any rules with that. I mean, it's casual up there, you know, and it's fun when they interact with us, because, you know, even Sage, like, when he, like, you fist know, bumped, fist bumped us last fight, he was like, no one ever says hi to you guys. Like, which sometimes he, like, favorite just said hey to us. But it's also, like, we're there for them, too. So it's, like, they don't need to, like, talk to us anyway. They have, you know, they're weighing in. They've got a lot of stuff going on. So we get it. It's not like we expect them to. But it's fun when they do. It's different, you know?
Yeah. Where's been your favorite location for you to travel for the UFC?
Well, I'm usually only in the U.S., but I've been to Canada now a few times, and I went to Mexico City once, and I guess probably Mexico City, just because I got to travel internationally, and it was a totally different culture, and, you know, we had security with us, and the area we stayed in was really nice, but we were able to venture out and have authentic Mexican food, and interact with locals and things, so I think that was my favorite.
Yeah, what'd you think of Mexico? Mexico is beautiful. Like, the food, like, I remember last time I went.
It's spot. I mean, he's from Australia. So the Australians, they go to, like, you know, you've been to probably Tulum, Cabo, Puerto Vallarta.
Okay,
Mexico,
yeah.
Mexico City's in the middle, man.
Mexico City's, like, crazy.
It can be dangerous, for sure.
It can be dangerous, and I was, you know, and it's hard to, because I don't know how to say it without sounding weird, but it's like, when we were driving in the car, we would see total just, like, these little houses where everyone had their, you know, their clothes hanging outside, bars on the windows, and you could just tell they don't have much money. But then in other parts, it was, like, super nice. So it was kind of weird how it was, you know, there was no middle. It was, like, you know, really low income and then really high income. And they were separated.
Yeah.
So it was kind of interesting. But, I love the people there. Everyone's super passionate and, like, really great people. So that was really cool to see. We did a signing at one of the malls there and got to meet a lot of the fans. And everyone's so thankful and loves the UFC. They're really loyal there. So it was definitely cool being immersed in, like, you know, real life Mexico, not just, like, tourist, you know, beach or anything. But I've heard the beaches there are really beautiful as well.
Have to definitely do that. What was it like in New York for the Conor McGregor Alvarez fight?
That was crazy. It was super cool. It was, I don't know, it felt almost surreal. Finally, the UFC got where they wanted to be. You know, they'd been working for a long time trying to have a fight in New York, so it was really cool. And it finally passed, and it was super exciting. The card was stacked. It was awesome fighters. And talk about fans that are loyal. They have great fans in New York. I met a guy who had this big poster, and it was, like, on a trifold thing, so it didn't get ruined. And he asked me for my autograph, and he had already had so many people had signed it. And we were like, how long have you been out here? And I think he had said, like, 2 days or something, just camped out. And he's like, yeah, I've almost got everybody on the card. He was only missing, like, two fighters' autographs or something. And he wasn't going to leave until he got them. So they're committed there.
That's
and it was exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to, sorry to change the subject, I wanted to mention travel one more time, because when you brought up the disparity between, you know, the have and have nots in Mexico, it reminded me when you've been to Indonesia, Bali. Have you been to Bali?
Yeah.
So the first time I went, I remember thinking to myself, we're eating at this really nice place near the airport, which is kind of dodgy, and it was really expensive, and then, you know, you leave, and there's, you know, people living in the streets, and these people who live right by this restaurant that I'm eating at don't even have the money to eat at, you know, their neighborhood restaurant. So it really opens your eyes and creates an awareness when you travel. So could you talk to us and share with us a little bit about maybe some lessons you've learned, not even just with the UFC, but the importance and value of you traveling and then that awareness that it creates to anyone listening at home maybe who hasn't traveled yet?
So traveling has been huge for me. So I grew up in a very conservative household in Florida. And I love my parents. They're amazing. But I was very sheltered. And, you know, I still to this day can be kind of serious or a little bit conservative and old school because the way I was raised. And I'm so thankful for modeling and the UFC, but especially being able to travel international through my modeling career, because it really opened my eyes and taught me about real life that I didn't learn from my parents or my small town. Like, you know, Orlando's not a small town, but it's still slightly sheltered compared to being able to travel. So I've lived in Milan for 3 months. I lived in Greece for a month. I traveled to Germany, traveled to Bali, you know, for vacation. But the other places like Milan and Greece for modeling, I was actually living there. So I was going to the grocery store there. I was taking public transport. I was trying to get around in countries I didn't speak their language. You know, it was really difficult. And especially in Greece, I was there right before all the banks closed, before you could get your money. You know, it was really bad there. And people were really upset. And I worked a few jobs where they're like, you're so lucky, you're American. Like, and they were like almost kind of bitter, you know, like, you're like, why are you here? Like, you're American, you're so lucky. And I felt horrible for them because they're working so hard. Like, these people in Greece, they're hard workers. They want to have jobs. And it was sad seeing them, you know, and it made me feel really lucky to have what I have in America. And when I was in Milan, too, the culture there was super cool. And I got to see how they are so focused on family. And, like, I was in Milan and everyone told me, oh, you were in the working city. Like, that's the only place people actually work in Italy. So that was kind of cool too. And I don't know, you just start to learn that we're kind of, like, I felt kind of privileged, you know, once I got back, like, to have everything. And as much as I was thankful to be back and have everything, I also was kind of like, it's kind of cool not having everything right at your fingertips. Yeah. And at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people in other cultures are mostly just concerned about being with their family and having food for the table. And I don't know, it's little things and big things you learn traveling. It really opens your eyes, teaches you a lot about equality and other cultures, and especially in the model apartment. I remember one day I came home, this was in Miami, but I had a Ukrainian roommate and one from Russia, and the Ukrainian one was crying because, you know, one of the planes was just attacked by the Russians, and they were friends, the two girls, the Ukrainian and the Russian friend, were friends, and that day was really difficult for them, you know, and their families, and it was crazy to live in an apartment with girls from all over the world, and we were all friends, and we all laughed the same, we all loved the same, we all, you know, we were all good friends, but we all had these own problems with each other because of the world issues, you know, so it taught me a lot that, you know, you can't judge people too much, and you have to be open to where people come from, and take into consideration other people's cultures and things. At the end of the day, we're all the same. So it definitely made me like feel like world peace. Like, when do we get world peace?
Guys, I hope you're enjoying the episode with Chrissy Blair. If you haven't yet, go check out our other episodes with the likes of Jake Ducey, Steve Maxwell, Justin Fortune, Stephanie Rice, Diamond Dallas Page, and Lewis Howes. We'd love your feedback, so send them through at info@thevisionboardpodcast.com. And if you're new to the show, please remember to subscribe via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Now back to the show. Does it get very competitive in the house with so many girls going for the... Well, you all be going for the similar jobs, wouldn't you?
Yeah, there is in Milan, there was one roommate, he was funny. She would, like, lie to us about things and then show up at the casting first or something. And we'd be like, what the heck? What is she doing? But I've never had anything super crazy competitive-wise. Everyone's so different, really. Like, you might think you're like someone, but clients see differently. They have a very specific thing they want, and I kind of think the nice thing about modeling nowadays is every girl has, like, fits in somewhere, you know, like, now there's plus size models, and for me, like, I'm not super tall and, like, teeny tiny, and that is a good thing for a lot of clients that I work for, because they're like, we want a girl that's in shape, that looks healthy, you know, and makes a bikini look good, not just, like, you know, we don't want, like, clothes hanger kind of model, but you know, every girl has their place in the modeling industry. So it's not that competitive for me, at least anymore, that I've seen.
Yeah. I'm just pretty intrigued. How does one of these castings actually work? Do they call you in? Do you just chat for a while? Is it like, can you just give us insights on how the actual audition process works?
Yeah, they're all slightly different, especially in Milan. It was crazy. It was like cattle call, they call it, where the agencies literally just send all their girls to the casting. And you're outside in a huge line on the street waiting for like an hour or two. And those were really funny because they were speaking in Italian. So they would talk about you, me, you know, right in front of me. And I had no idea what they were saying. One of my roommates understood Italian and she'd tell us after what they were saying. Oh, yeah, that one called you fat. And then that one said, you have bad nose or something. Jeez. But usually, like here in LA, how it works, it's a little bit better because the agencies don't send all the girls. So a lot of the clients will say, I'm having a casting. Can you send me, you know, the girls that fit what I'm looking for? Here's what I'm looking for. And then they'll send them a package, they call it, of a bunch of girls. And then they'll come back and say, okay, here's the ones we want to see. So then at least when you're going, most of the time here in LA, it's already kind of been narrowed down. But yeah, you get there and you sign in, you have to wait and see the client. They usually make you try on clothes and take pictures of you. They don't really ask you questions. They just look through your portfolio and then you leave not knowing if you have the job most of the time. Sometimes they'll tell you, like I've had times where they're like, oh, I'm definitely going to book you. Like you're perfect. And then I like don't hear. And I'm like, well, they told me I had the job, but it's like other girls come in, you know, so never really know.
Do you mind sharing with us? So I'll give you an example. I moved to LA in 2005 and I was dating a girl. She was modeling, just getting started. So she was getting a lot of her gigs from like, forget the website, Model Place or whatever. And then do you remember that? I think it was omp.com and then Craigslist. Craigslist would have a lot of like model gigs sort of thing. And we go to one. And all the ad said was they're looking for females between this age, hair modeling, a nationwide like shampoo brand will be there. So we're new to LA at the time from the East Coast. We go in, I come with her because she was nervous, and we get there and it's like an outside amphitheater. There's literally like maybe 1,000 people there. A guy gets on stage and he says, hey everyone, before we do the audition, everyone please stand up and follow me, form a single line. Long story short, it was the Church of Scientology. They had walked us all the way through.
What?
Right in downtown LA. It was gnarly. We get into this room. This guy comes in and he starts drawing on this dry erase board, ARC. He's like, this is affirmation, ARC sort of thing. And I'm like, what? And I stand up and I'm like, man, this is weird. Anybody leaving, I'm out of here. So my girlfriend at the time, we leave, some other people follow. That was the craziest, gnarliest story of auditions. And it made me think of like, man, I wonder if all our auditions are like this or if there's like a video about it. Could you share one? Maybe not that crazy, but something that stuck in your mind since you started modeling that were like, dude, auditions could be kind of, you know, you can't really.
Sounds creepy.
Yeah, it was weird. Anything like that ever happened to you?
I've had auditions where they literally make you do, because I go on commercial auditions as well for TV commercials, and they will make you do the most embarrassing things like you can ever think of. And I think about it still, like, oh my gosh, if those videos ever got out, I would be mortified, like what they make you do in there. But as far as modeling auditions, I've never had anything that crazy. The weirdest thing that I remember was just basically this girl was doing like market research through a casting. And she's like, oh, I want to have a casting. And I get there and she has like her product. It's like the new product she's launching. And she took pictures of me, but I don't think it was like actually a casting, because she was like, so how much would you pay for this? Like, do you think your friends would buy this? Like, where do you see it being sold? Like, do you think you could see it in an airport? Like, and then when I left, I was like, what the heck? That wasn't a casting. That was like market research. So weird. That one was really strange. But the auditions for commercials, they seriously made me sit on a chair, like a bar stool, and pretend it was a swing. And I had to like hold fake candles and pretend I was swinging while singing the ABCs. And then I had to pretend like a car came from under me. And I was like, oh, it's a car. Or something. Like, I don't know. It was embarrassing. Crazy. I've had to do a lot of it. I had to like mix random made up potions once. And
sorcery.
I don't know.
That's like alchemy. Could you share with us a little bit about Kalumi? Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, Kalumi. So Kalumi is, we've also made up the word, and it's a mix between Kalon, which means the ideal of moral and physical beauty, mixed with like illuminate, so Lumi for short. So Kalumi is the brand name. And then our product line of protein bars is called Beauty Food because it's a protein bar that doubles as a beauty supplement. So it's extremely high in protein, 15 grams for only 220 calories. The sweetener that we use is from a yukon root vegetable. Well, it's yukon, which is a root vegetable. So your sugar is all coming from veggies. And it's only 5 or 6 grams. One is 5, the other two bars are 6 grams. So it's very low sugar, good source of fiber, has vitamin C from sweet potatoes. So it's just nutrients loaded, and it's high in protein for low calories. And yeah, I was just inspired by us traveling. Me and my other friend that's a model who lives in New York came up with the idea. We met in Milan in the model apartment 5 years ago, and we've been friends since. And
she's Australian, right?
What's that?
She's Australian, correct?
She's Australian, yeah. She's from Melbourne.
She's from Melbourne?
Yeah, she's in Melbourne now.
Have you been to Australia yet?
I have, yeah. I've been to Sydney, Melbourne, Byron Bay. Yeah,
Gold Coast. Love Byron.
Byron's beautiful, isn't it?
So nice.
There's a spot in Byron. Did you go to the Crystal Castle? Have you heard of it?
I don't think so.
It's about 10 miles up a hill from the beach. And what it is they say it's the land of fertility. So it's like this magical space of meditation. I always explain to my friends, it's almost like, imagine Jurassic Park, that scene when they're flying in with the open rolling fields and the like green trees. But instead of dinosaurs, there's like 15-foot Tibetan deities, and it's just gorgeous, and there's
I need to go there. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, you should check it out. I tell all my friends, because Byron has this, you know, people, at least in Australia, will go there to party, and I'm like, man, if you could go up there and do the right things, it's a very spiritual place.
Far relaxing.
Yeah.
Oh, I went totally to relax. I just remember chilling out. I stayed in like this Balinese hut kind of resort.
Yeah.
And there was big lizard, like iguanas or whatever there.
Water dragons.
We're just hanging out with those and just chilling. Really, went to the beach, it was beautiful, and we ate at some cool places, but I wasn't partying there, that's for sure. I don't really party much nowadays, though, anyways.
Yeah, the recovery's too hot.
Yeah, and
hard. Yeah.
For sure. And to be switched on, I mean, you're on TV, you run businesses, you're launching like upstarts. Where does this inspiration come from? Was this something that's just evolving as you're creating more and more momentum? Or is this something, since you were younger, you've always been like this?
For what? The health stuff?
Or just that, I mean, you're in a couple different, you're not just focusing on doing the Octagon thing, the UFC thing, you know, the startup business, you travel a lot, you're modeling. Yeah. I think I was on your Instagram trying to do some homework, but there's a book. Did they do a book about you?
So that sort of thing.
You're so constantly creating.
I'm totally entrepreneur mind. Yeah, I'm like definitely natural born entrepreneur. Hmm. My parents are really hard workers. My dad's a drummer and he fixes up houses and rents them and sells them. So from a very young age, I was helping around the house, and then I was helping my dad paint and like do silly things like to fix up houses. And then I was pretty committed in school. I definitely had my fun in school. I'm glad I did, because now I'm able to really like hunker down and focus on all the things that I want to do. But I kind of partied a lot in high school and had fun with my friends. And then college was like, I worked super hard for my graphic design degree and my fine art minor. And then as soon as I graduated, I pursued modeling. I lived in other countries, and that really just kind of inspired me to chase my dreams. And I kind of felt like things seem really hard, but if you really put your mind to it, you can accomplish things. And the first thing I did was I wanted to do something for the UFC fans that they could collect, but I didn't want to just, you know, make a calendar or t-shirts or posters. I was trying to think outside the box and do something different. And I wanted it to also be something that made sense, matched with my passions, like something that I was passionate about, which is my modeling career. And so I kind of tried to tie the two together, like, okay, I'll make a collectible book where I hire a really good fashion photographer and we focus on making like really cool images that are timeless and classic that people can collect, and it's like a special thing. And I didn't want the photos to ever be found online. I wanted it to just be exclusively for the book. So that was the inspiration for the book I made, and I totally went all out with it. I did a Kickstarter for it, and I raised, I think, $10,000, and I ended up realizing later that it was going to cost more, like, after, because this was the first time I ever had done this, so I didn't really know, you know, all the added costs in the end, and I thought it was mostly black and white, but then they were like, no, your black and whites have color in them, and they were like, you can just run them black and white, but they won't be as nice, and I was like, no, we're making it as nice as possible, so I made sure, you know, I paid to make it the nicest it could be. It has, like, a soft touch finish. The size is really big. That was a big thing. I think I have one here. They were like, oh, if you make it smaller, it won't be so expensive. And I'm like, no, I don't want to make it smaller. I want it to be big, so it's cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so
it's dope.
Pretty big. And yep. Then the special one has gold foil on it.
Number one.
Yeah, where could the people find this?
They can buy it on my website at chrissyblair.com.
Awesome.
Just back to just tying into that question, just with entrepreneurship, what have you found to be kind of the things you like and the things you dislike about entrepreneurship?
The things I like about entrepreneurship are you literally have the power in yourself to change the world. Mm. Like, even if it's like the slightest bit, you have the power to do that. And for me, I feel I have the power to provide something really high quality to people in need because I needed it. My best friend, who I've created the business with, needed it. The models I've worked with and traveled with need it. So if we need it, other people need it too. And it's so hard. It's becoming easier now, but it's really hard to find food that's actually healthy. Sorry. So that was inspiration for that. And I love that through being an entrepreneur, you have the opportunity to create something for people. And that's what I love about it. The things that there's nothing I hate about it, but it's definitely hard work. And
yeah,
it brings
a
lot of anxiety and stress. But that's me. Like, I'm a workaholic, so I love that about it. It keeps me on my toes, and there's always something that comes up. And it's always, I'm always trying to guess what it's going to be. Like, uh-oh, like, are they going to try to charge me more for this now? Like, you know, and things happen. Like, we've already ran into so many things. Like, we did our first run of the bars, and they came out great. And then 2 weeks later, you know, there was a bit of oil separation that naturally happened because we use all natural products. We don't use any, you know, fake stabilizers with lots of sugar or anything like that. So we then had to take it to a scientist and spend a month, you know, figuring out what we could add that was natural to make sure it didn't do that. But that was like a roadblock for sure. That put us like a month back, you know, and then that was frustrating. But that's the hardest part about it, really, is just dealing with roadblocks and not giving up, because there's always going to be something, you know, that's going to happen where it costs you a lot of money, you've wasted money or you've wasted product or something, and then you have to have the courage to go, okay, we're not going to let this stop us, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned having the power. We all have the power to do something, and the roadblock thing is very important too, because I feel so many people limit themselves by allowing adversity to paint their picture of what their future looks like. So one question I like asking is, I call it an invisible tool belt. So something that we all carry around that allow us to grow, allow us to create things that maybe our friends don't know. Maybe I'm, you know, I'm very good at creating something, or that I know if the road gets tough, I'll be able to get through it because of past experiences. What sort of things that you have on your invisible tool belt that allow Chrissy Blair to keep pushing forward, keep creating, and keep, you know, reaching your full potential that maybe your friends don't know about you?
Like, you mean as in what inspires me to keep going?
Like characteristics, traits.
Oh, my characteristic traits?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super kind of, I don't know the word, but I'm very, like, steadfast, dreamer, kind of super serious, and really, like, I love organizing things. So those characteristics, I think, go pretty hand in hand with me wanting to start my own business. You know, I'm kind of a risk taker, but I'm also very practical. Like, I think things out and I think for long term. So those are some characteristics I think that go hand in hand with, like, you know, creating a business. Yeah, the people who know me are just always saying she never gives up. She's very, like a risk taker. I mean, so many people with modeling even told me, you'll never be a model, like you're too short or you're not, you don't fit the requirements, you know? And I was like, oh yeah, watch this. And I like saved up all this money and moved to LA by myself. Like I knew no one here and I knew it was a risk, but I prepared for it. I was like, okay, I've got 3 months to make it happen and then I'll run out of money. So I spent the 3 months and then I did well enough to save that money and move to LA and get an agency in LA. So it kind of took a step by step. So yeah, my characteristics are, I guess, are just those things that
persistent.
Make me never give up.
Very cool.
Okay. And people, I love people. So, you know, like anything I'm doing where I'm around people and meeting more people or creating something for people, that's me. I hate being alone. I tried living alone. It didn't work. I'm like, no, I need roommates. I need like a cat. I just love people. So. Cool.
All right, Chrissy, to wrap things up, I've got a couple of personality questions. Now, Johnny doesn't know, I've got a brand new personality question.
Oh, you're dropping some bombs.
So you're going to be the first one I've tried this on. Yeah. So I listened to a couple of interviews yesterday, and I kind of like this question. So it's going to kind of give us insights into who Chrissy was when she was growing up and who she is today.
Awesome.
So the first question is, who were the people that you had as posters on your wall growing up?
Spice Girls.
Because I had Sylvester Stallone. My one was covered in Stallone.
I had Ken Griffey Jr.
My one was covered with Sylvester Stallone, Rocky.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah.
I had baseball players. I had like Ken Griffey Jr. and Frank Thomas. You probably don't know these guys, neither one of you. But.
No, I know who Kenny is.
So you had the Spice Girls.
Yeah, mine was really just the Spice Girls. They really consumed my life.
Who were you?
But you know what? To me, they're so cool because they were branded so well. Like, whoever branded them was a genius. Like, yeah. I should probably read about it and find out who helped with the branding because I'm sure it has to be some really great designer or something. But, you know, they each had their own names and personalities and the clothing, right. The fashion was amazing. And I don't know, it was just super cool because everyone had their one favorite. And like I said, they were just super well branded and that kind of is still something to this day I think is really awesome. And something is branded super well, it really hits home for people and it sticks in their mind and it adds so much more to it. You know, it has an artistic vibe to it. Just like Kiss, you know, like they're so iconic and it's fun to have a favorite and know things about people just based on the branding, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so sticking to that though.
Who was the one that intrigued you the most? Sorry, just before we go on. Who was the Spice Girl that you thought you were?
Well, that was weird because I was obsessed with Ginger in the beginning. Okay. And then around like third grade, I was like, actually, she might be too slutty. So now I like
Josh. That's awareness for third grade.
It's actually funny. Like, they used to make Scary Spice out to be not cool, but she was actually really beautiful. Like,
she's so beautiful.
They all were beautiful. But like,
yeah.
What you said was very profound about the branding. So it just had me thinking, if we were able to like step out of who you are to look at yourself from an outsider perspective, what would you paint your brand individually as when it's at its best?
My brand?
Yes. Like, so like how would you visualize Chrissy Blair, the brand entrepreneur, model, host, that sort of thing? Because the same characteristic traits that you know, we were complimenting who put the Spice Girls together, you said when something is well branded, it speaks to you. You know, we have a connection with that. What are those things for your brand?
Well, for my brand as a person, I mean, some key words I would want are like classy. I think I strive myself and everything I do to have a bit of class to it, like a high end kind of classy feel. So I think classy is a big one. I also think friendly is a huge one. For me, that's my personality, and that's what I like to stand for, is being super friendly and, like, accepting of people, and, you know, like, I'm the kind of person who, like, chats with the people at Trader Joe's, and, like, you know, like, that's what I would want my brand to stand for. Classy, friendly, like, even with classy, like, elegant, if there's a bit of elegance, I think, not just in the way you carry yourself or you talk or things like that, but just the things I accept, like the jobs that I accept and the friends that I have closest to me. And with everything I do, maybe it's because I was raised super conservative, but I have a bit of well, that's not a very elegant thing to do or say. Like, I try to really hold that standard of elegance. And then artsy, like artistic and creative. With the brand, it would have to, something about my brand as a person would have to have a bit of art or something creative about it, because I'm super creative and art, I love art, so yeah.
There you go. Okay, final question, Chrissy. Now, Chrissy Blair, you're going to be hosting a private dinner party. You've got five invites. It can be anyone dead or alive. It just can't be anyone that is either a family or friend member. Who are you inviting?
Five people. Okay, let's see. Jimmy Fallon, because he's hilarious and awesome.
And you want to be on his show.
Says Jimmy. Hold on, okay, who else? This is a good question, but it's hard. Who else do I love? I'm trying to think who inspires me. But then it's also hard because they all have to get along. But I guess it would be Howard Schultz. I would want him there, the creator of Starbucks.
Actually, you know, you're the first person that said they all have to get along. Everyone doesn't care.
Yeah, no one's ever said that.
We're on the same, like, when I go to dinner with friends, I, like, know which friends I could bring with me to that friend.
Yeah,
that's cool.
You know what I mean? It's like, a lot of people don't get, but I told you, I'm friends with so many different types of people. So, like, in my mind, I would want to just have my five people that I really want to talk to there. But if they don't all get along, then it's not a fun dinner. But Jimmy Fallon probably gets along with anybody. Howard Schultz, in the interviews I've heard him in, seems pretty nice. So those two. Need a girl. See, I'd want to say Ronda Rousey, but, like, I don't know if she wants to talk to me, but I think she would like Jimmy Fallon, so we'll bring her. So
she'll
that's three.
Up. She'll warm up.
We got to have a strong female there. And then we need, like, I don't know, like an artist or a fashion designer would be really cool. So I'm trying to think what fashion, maybe like Stella McCartney.
Yeah.
It could be cool. And then maybe someone young, like, who's like my favorite? Oh, Jennifer Lawrence. I love Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, she's great.
J-Lo. And then before we let you go as well, could you share with our audience where they could follow you and find you at to, you know, support your path?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Chrissy_Blair on Instagram, and then my website's ChrissyBlair.com. And then if you want to find out more about Kalumi, our website is KalumiHealth.com, and our bars will be releasing late January, so not too much longer now.
Awesome. We look forward to it. We'll have to order a few boxes because we're going on a road. We need to look after ourselves.
So. Yeah, for sure. We wish you wells, and thank you for sharing the space with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It was fun. Awesome. I liked your questions. Awesome. You're challenging the good.
Thank you.
happy holidays, Chrissy. Have a great Christmas, and hopefully we'll speak again. Have fun next week in Vegas.
Yeah, have fun in Vegas. We'll see you around.
Yep, cool. Sounds good. Bye, guys.
Guys, that was Chrissy Blair.
Yeah, man, she was awesome. She was definitely very insightful on the goings-on behind the basically the veil of the UFC with the weigh-ins, you know, what's happening, the energy in the arenas. It's something to see, for sure, if you've never been to one of these live events.
Yeah, I think they get the credit they deserve. You know, some people think they're just there to flash a round card. I mean, they do a lot of work behind the scenes, and they have to go to all these different events, mix with the fans, you know, mix with the fighters and all the different officials as well. So, you know, it's quite a job. They have to travel heaps, man. So
yeah, that's what Dana... That's off to them. But Dana and the Fertitta brothers, they didn't... Everything they do with their production, the UFC, is the best. So it's one of those things that if you're signed with the UFC, whether you're a fighter, you're an announcer, you're a writer, or you're a ring girl, you're going to expect these things. Like, she has done, I mean, traveled the world. You get the opportunity to travel the world, but you're right, it does take a toll on you. Just going 30,000 feet in the air in an airplane, my girlfriend used to be a flight attendant, and she used to talk about having to fly, just being in the airplane is exhausting. Let alone, the girls, Chrissy, she has to be on point because the camera's always on them at the weigh-ins, at the during the events.
Away from home for a long time. It's like, you know, you get to, you miss socializing with your friends and all sorts of things. And, you know, she's from Florida, now moved to Los Angeles. You know, she's doing a great job, though, you know. Wouldn't surprise me if she get cast in something pretty big pretty soon, because she seems like her profile's on the way up. She's built a lot of momentum, so good on her.
That's what it's all about, being able to take what you're good at and wrap that up and package that up and continue to you know, build momentum, like you just said, and promote. She's obviously all about wanting to get to the next level on a different, couple other different things. She has Kalumi popping off. She did that book.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, I know we didn't get to touch base too much, but I saw her just release an interview to where her and her business partner were interviewing the head designer of this really popular fashion line. So maybe hosting is in the cards for her future.
Yeah, it makes sense. Well, she's used to being in big crowds, big events, so she's got that side kind of kicked down. You know, she's used to auditioning, all sorts of things, so she's got a lot of skills. So I'm really glad that we actually did this one. It's one of those ones that, you know, you kind of say, you know, should we get Chrissy on? You know, I think we both said yes straight
for
away.
Sure.
We really wanted that perspective of something a little bit different to what we're used to. Like, it's always great that, you know, it's one of those things that they're so competitive. It's like being a sport without playing a sport, if you get what I mean. You know what I mean? Like, they've still got to stay in unbelievable shape. They've still got to, you know, the demands of the media and the fans. You know, it's kind of, you know, really big what they go through.
Man. It's a sport for sure. It's just the intent and the action is different. I think we emailed Chrissy maybe 6 months ago, and she was such a sweetheart because when she responded, she only responded maybe 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, but we messaged her like a half a year ago, and she said, oh, in the email, remember?
She said, I didn't
see this email.
Every day,
yeah, I would love to do the interview. And she was definitely awesome to be able to, you know, the energy she was exuding out there, and when we were bringing up her photo book and she reaches behind her because we did this one, guys, we did it via Skype video. Not a lot of our interviews we get to use the video, but when we can and when it actually goes through, it adds a different dynamic in terms of relationship between interviewer and guest, and you get to see the reactions and the facial expressions too during, like, the question when I asked her about it was really, really, like, compelling. I wrote it down in my notes when I asked her about if she could see in body language and nonverbal communication during the weigh-ins, because it's one of my favorite things to do is to watch these weigh-ins before these big fights, and depending on who looks how, like eye contact, over aggressive, then I'll pick that fighter to win or to lose. And when she said that the one thing she's able to see every time she sees a fighter do this, she says they always lose, and it's always when they throw their hands up and say, come get some. And I was thinking about that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's probably a defense mechanism or a reaction to when you know you're in trouble. It's kind of like playing the contrary. I'm hurt. I just got rocked.
I think it's the same as when they stick their tongue out when they get hit. Like,
or the smile.
That's a very big point that, you know, they're hurt.
It was a cool little insight that she noticed that, and I thought that was really cool. It's something that I'm going to look out for. I kind of want to go back and guys that I know Nate does that a lot. Nick, the Diaz brothers do that a lot, but then
I guess
looking
maybe
back,
they see
it a lot though. Yeah. Like, to come get some after they got rocked. Or I was also thinking that's a sign of desperation late into a fight when a fighter knows they're down on the cards and they need a knockout and they want their mm-hmm. opponent to engage in, like, throw caution to the wind, what's the kid's name? The Nightmare, Diego Sanchez style.
Yeah,
you know, it's pretty interesting.
Way for them to draw him in, for
yeah,
sure.
good call out
good
on that, Chrissy,
by Chrissy, for sure.
For sure.
All right, guys, thanks for listening to another episode. Just remember, pick up your free ebook, the brand new one, Conversations with Champions. I think you're going to really love this one with all the different conversations, all the different, the best quotes pretty much from everyone that's come on the show this year. So get your free copy now at www.thevisionboardpodcast.com. It's on the homepage, or it's also on the tab that says /ebook.
Takes 10 seconds, put your email into the box. We send you Conversations with Champions for free, direct to your email. You'll find a lot of our basically biggest interviews, biggest high-profile guests, awesome little quotes, and, you know, get your framework thinking differently. We want to inspire you guys, and that's why we started this. So that's what you'll find with this book.
Yeah, it's all about inspirations and helping you guys get to where you want to be. So check out that book now. But in the meantime, we've got one episode to go, so we think you're going to enjoy this last one. So we'll see you on Friday. Johnny, my man.
Yeah, buddy. Tristan Cannell wrapping up the year, player.
Peace, brother.
Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and, you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.